Join me in prayer. Let us pray. As the psalmist has written, O Lord, bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that is within me bless his holy name. We've gathered together here on this beautiful summer Lord's Day to seek your presence, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Touch us all, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that we may be very glad that we've come into the house of the Lord this day, and that we may leave after our lunch together, filled with your Spirit and ready to work once again as a witness to your realm. Amen. The hymn is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. We'll stand as we sing all of the verses.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior.
Repeating together the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. Is this better? Well, boys and girls, what is the building where we are today? It's a church, isn't it? It's a church building. It's got a steeple, hasn't it? That great big tall thing that goes up. A steeple. And look at all the people. Isn't it great? We have music. Instrumentalists over here, the choir's over here, and all of us can sing. We got a bunch of pipes up in here, haven't we? Sure. Well, I want to show you something because it's very important we remember what the church looks like wherever we go so we won't forget it. A lot more goes on than just this, but let's make a church with our hands, okay? You know how? Look. Here's the building. Can you do it like that? Put your fingers together like this. See? You got it. Like that. So here's the building, the church. Look what else we've got. Here's the steeple. See the steeple? Good. You got it. Yes. Very good. We open the doors, and there are the people. Isn't that neat? That'll work, won't it? Now keep this in mind, and you can show somebody that you've got a church right here with your fingers. Remember how to do it. Put your fingers together like that, and your front two fingers go like this. That's the steeple. Doesn't it look like a steeple? I think it does. So we open the doors, and there are all the people. Like that. Okay? Almost. You got a wide steeple, haven't you? Yeah. Good. Let's have us a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the church, for you have called it into being, and we are here responding to your call. Bless all of us. Let us recognize the importance of the church building, as well as what we do here, and how we take the church with us, whether it's in our hands, but especially let it be in our hearts. Amen. And thank you all very much for coming up. You may go back to your place. Now is the time in our service for sharing of our celebrations, our concerns. Let me just say that Pam Robinson needed to go back to the hospital today, and that's where Wanda is right now. So let's keep Pam in our prayers. Glenn Long goes to Nashville Tuesday. He has special tests that will be taken on him Wednesday from a doctor that specifically works with hematology. There will be other folks that we need to be remembering. Who are they? Yes.
I finally talked to Donnie Joe.
Okay.
2.5 months. And he has a hole in his throat.
He has a hole in his throat. This is Donnie Joe. What's his last name?
Eddington.
Okay.
But other than that, the last time I had heard from him, he had had 2 strokes.
Okay.
So he's still recovering from that. He can barely walk. He told me he has took 3 steps.
Okay.
And he said he's doing okay, but I still want to keep him in prayer.
You be sure and tell him that this congregation is keeping him in all of our prayers. Okay? Good. Thanks. Who else? Special prayers. Yes. Okay, that's Betty and Doug and Brenda.
Milhorn.
Thank you. Others, please? Yes, ma'am. Dolores and Ronnie Ray. Thank you. Others still? Yes, ma'am. Pardon me? Susan Burney. Thank you. Still others, perhaps. Well, let's remember. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. I should know you, but I don't know you yet. Pardon me?
Joanne.
You did make it, didn't you? I went to see you a couple of weeks ago. I'm so glad to see you. We had a nice chat on the phone recently. Thanks, Joanne. Joanne recently lost her husband, so let's keep her in prayers. And your family. Others still?
Me and the church.
Pardon me?
Me and the church.
You and the church. Okay. Certainly the church. Anybody else? Okay. Thank you. Will you join me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, once again, we turn to you in prayer with our thoughts, with our minds, and our hearts. We are so thankful for this privilege when we, even we, can approach your mighty throne of grace with our concerns, with our prayers, with our celebrations, with our petitions for intercession. We give you thanks for this great world and this fantastic summer that we're having, both rain, heat, and sunshine. We are grateful for the beauty that it turns the earth, such lovely, lush, green fields and trees. Help us take care of ourselves and not get too exposed when it's too hot. Be with those who are suffering because of the heat. Help us find ways to help. We ask your special blessings on this country, our challenges here as a nation. We ask your special blessings on issues surrounding and coming from the World Cup played in Brazil. May it be peaceful, whatever the outcome, with the game played today. There are other concerns and hot spots throughout the world, both actual and potential. Send forth your Prince of Peace, O Lord, that cooler heads may prevail and reasoned ways could work out through compromise. the issues that would tear people apart. Arm us with your grace. Arm us with your insight. But most of all, gird us with the love of Christ, that wherever we go, we can be agents of the Christ. So onward, Christian soldiers, let all of us recognize the immense responsibility that we have, we who are privileged to call ourselves Christians or little Christs. There are many that we need to be remembering in our prayers. Some have just been mentioned. Be with Pam, as she has issues that cause her to go to the hospital this day. Bless Glenn as he and his wife and family journey over to Vanderbilt on Tuesday for tests on Wednesday. May the doctors there, working with Pam and with Glenn, see clearly what the issues are. And then, O Lord, give them the wisdom and the knowledge to apply the right medications so that they can indeed regain their health. Bless your servant, Donnie Joe. Be with Brenda and people close to her, Betty and Doug. O Lord, be with Dolores and Ronnie, Ray, Susan, Joanne Fuller, and her family, and certainly be with this church. Let it strive for excellence in every way. Open our minds and our hearts, gracious Lord, that it can be filled with direction from the Holy Spirit, filled with the love of Christ, and empowered with your mighty presence, O God. There are many needs that surround us, some spoken and discussed, others that simply gnaw at us from inside our soul outward. This is because, O Lord, we live in a broken world, and all of us are either broken or will become so because we are frail human beings. But you have shown us the way and the truth and the life to bear up under all of these worldly challenges and take our place, rightful place, as forgiven Christians, as citizens of the city of God. All these things we pray in the name of the Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beautifully done, musicians. Thank you. Thank you very much, Terry. Choir. Now is the time now in our worship for the giving and receiving of tithes and offerings. Will you come? Accept, O Lord, this money, our offering and your tithes. Use the money that is here and use our assets everywhere that we touch, wherever we go, to further your work at this church and in this church's ministry and mission. Amen. The hymn is, Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. It's number 454. The scripture for today is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, from chapter number 4 of Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 16 and then reading through verse 30. So let us hear the word of the Lord. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the congregation were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself,' and you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel at the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to the widow at Sarepta in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Amen. And here ends this reading from God's most holy word. Let us bow in prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, be present with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word be heard among these words and our thoughts. In the name of Christ, amen. So today, let's think about the mission of the church. What is the church? What is it for? We are here today. For what reason did we come? Many of us were reared in a church somewhere. Why did our moms and dads and our family members, why did they take us to a church? For what were they looking? You may look up and down, especially East Tennessee, actually in the South. You may look up and down the countryside and you see churches of every size and shape and description, different lengths of steeples or towers. Different things that they were made of, like what this church is made of, or my previous church, stone was the principal thing from which it was made. brick is also there and wooden. Why do people have churches spring up everywhere? I never will forget. In my undergraduate economics class, it was taught by a man by the name of Robert Bjork, a Swedish person, Dr. Bjork. He was making a point. He was talking about economics now, and he would like to emphasize his point by beating on his lectern. And says, I tell you, the church is absolutely worth nothing. Not one thing, economically speaking. What does it produce? Where are the goods and services? But look at how much money is put into the church. Why? Well, it puzzled me for a long time, and I lost track of my good professor because he was most provocative. He provoked me into thinking, asking the question, what is the church? Well, it's not an economic entity. We're not a factory. We don't produce shoes. We don't produce whatever it takes to sell them. But that is his point. There are other values besides that which money can buy and which things can be manufactured to sell. And we now move into the purpose of the church. Why are there so many? Why so many denominations? Well, why are there so many different kinds of people, different ways of thinking? Of course, we see the issue and the answer right there. Something is causing us to come to church, to be taken to church, to build a church, to sustain a church. What is it? What is it? Back in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus was teaching his disciples and he asked the question. Seems to be very innocent in one sense. The word he says, who do people say that I am? Now, folks, don't go there unless you want an answer, because you will be told, who do people say that I am? Well, they started thinking, well, you're one of the prophets, Elijah. Maybe you're Elijah. Maybe we don't know who you are. But then Simon says, Simon Peter, he said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yes. And then Jesus said to him, and I tell you, Simon, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Of course, Peter pushes his luck, and he starts telling Jesus what his mission is. When Jesus was telling him he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die, and Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. And we go, wow. From the mouth that confessed Jesus was the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, he's now called the Satan. Isn't that the way it is, though, people? On the one hand, we can witness to Jesus, and then almost immediately, we can be found opposing Jesus. And that's what Satan means. The devil is the evil one, but Satan is an adversary. So he's becoming an adversary with Jesus. And that's the way it is. And we, the church, are made up with people, of people. And on the one hand, we can be absolutely divine and angelic, and on the other hand, things cannot go well for us, and we can be hurting and people around us at the same time. But back to the question, what is the church? Jesus went ahead and developed the idea with Simon. You have not been told that by flesh and blood, but my Father in heaven. And then he continued and he said, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter, the rock, the play on word in Greek, Petra, rock. Peter, a man's name. I'll build my church on your confession of faith, Simon. For if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you will want to gather together as a group of believers in Jesus and celebrate your faith. That's the beginning of the church, way back in the first century. And if you were to check the history, you will find that in the time of the Roman Empire, the church, you had to be mighty quiet if you were a Christian. And in the wee hours of the morning, or maybe even late at night, you would see people walking quietly to a central place. They would come from all over the neighborhood in the great cities of Rome. And underneath their robes, they would have bread and they would have wine. And when they came to this one particular house, they would dump all of their wine into a very, very large bowl. And they put the bread next to it. And they would, in the course of the worship service, celebrate what's called as the Eucharist or Holy Communion. Back then, people who were called to say Jesus is the Messiah wanted to come together and worship. They didn't have a beautiful place like this. They had homes. And they had to do it very surreptitiously. They had to sneak around to worship. Did you know that in some parts of the world, you still have to sneak around to worship Jesus? You can be killed even now in this world if you are a Christian. Very hard. If you don't believe me, check the demographics for Christians in Palestine and in Israel. You'll find more in Israel, but not in the Arab nations, because Christians are persecuted. In Iraq, there were a number of Christians. I have played tennis with Iraqi Christians, as well as Iranian Christians, but they are very much pushed out. So you see, it's not a free ride, and for us to worship here today is exceptional. It is a privilege. And we responded to the call of Christ to confess him. And we want to share that confession together. So there is one of your purposes of the church. It's one of our missions. A place to come together and to worship. Worship is the unique thing that a church does. I want to repeat that. Worship is the unique thing that a person does. That an organization does. You may have mission work out of other organizations, like the Rotary Club, stamping out a dread disease. They have put that as top priority, and it's very, very close to coming into effect. You also have sports clubs, and they sometimes even worship their sport on Sunday and pull people away from church. We haven't heard of that now, have we? Of course we have. Well, you see, churches can sponsor sports groups. Churches can have places for others to meet. We do here at Rockwood. But to come together to worship God, that is the unique thing churches have and can do. We're here together and we're worshiping God. If other places do that, then they become a church. To worship God is what churches do. But how then do we do that? How do we form our souls, which is now a second thing churches do? It shows people how to live following Jesus. Now, there are lots of ways to do that. Sometimes we can be filled with a lot of thou shalt nots. And I'll tell you, I never will forget seeing a picture of a massive revival in the towns of one of my former churches. It was really fantastic, because what they were doing was in the wintertime, and they had this gentleman in a top coat, and it had a great big kettle, and there was fire under it. And this person had a deck of cards, and he was going to toss the cards into the kettle, which was going to be boiling, water boiling, and they were going to be melting away the cards. Now, that was a witness, you see. What they were doing was saying, look, being a Christian means you don't play cards. My dad wouldn't let me go fishing on a Sunday. Well, something the matter with that, you see. Sometimes churches get after people who dance. This is part of our past, but look at what's happening. It is what's called proscribing, or having a checklist on what you do and do not do as a human being, as a person. Many times churches would do this, which means If you did that, you were ostracized and pushed out of the means of worship. Now, this can be costly. If we start checking up on each other, would there be very many people here today? We cannot be guilty of some of the heinous issues that churches have liked to jump on, but there may be a few more issues that are proscribed in the Bible, and the scriptures say don't do it, but we might very well be guilty of it. And if we say you can't do it and that, yes, there's truth to it, of course. But you can push people out by being judgmental, and they're the very ones that need to be here. Do you follow me? So what is the purpose of church? Oh, by the way, I asked this old gentleman who showed me that picture. I says, well, they burned their cards up. And then he laughs real loudly, and he says, yeah, the revival was over when the preacher ran off with the musician. I said, no kidding. And that illustrates how you can be angelic on the one hand and then be demonic on the other hand. He said it tore the whole town up. So what did you all do next? Well, we went out and bought some more cards. I think the man was being truthful here. It happened in the 1930s, but notice how tedious our witness is as members of a church and the family of God. We have to be careful. I was sitting in a Sunday school class today. You all did such a good job. There she is. And they were talking about the passage of Scripture about eating meat that had previously been given to idols. And Paul says, look, if by eating meat I cause one of my brothers or sisters to stumble, I'm not going to eat meat, because you don't want to impair the faith of another person. That's the point. Sometimes we get waylaid in the church by preaching too hard and heavy and pointing a finger, but we need to remember that there are three fingers pointing back at us whenever we point a finger. Did you know that? Try pointing a finger and not have three more looking at you. We must be careful. If we're going to say this, 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 and that means you're a Christian, and if you mess up, you're not a Christian anymore. Let's let God do the judging. And let's use the church as a place to worship that God who says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I thought I heard an amen. Could I hear it, please? Thank you, dear. Thank you. That's what it's all about. So we worship. That means we pray. Prayer is very important to be faithful to God. How are we going to know what God wants us to do if we don't listen and if we don't talk? God negotiates. God listens. God speaks. Inspiration is God talking with us. Prayer and intercession is us talking with God. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. A rolling conversation all the time. That's what we do. And instruction. How do we know what a Christian thinks if we don't know this book? Every one of us who are privileged to come and worship needs to know what the book says. What's in the book? It'll surprise you. I had a colleague at school where I've been teaching for the last several years at Hiawassee College. And she said, there's some things in that Bible I don't want my young person reading. Did you know that? Some of those people weren't very nice. Did you know that? And sometimes you can get movies made out of people who are not very nice. Anybody ever heard of David and Bathsheba? Never mind. Not very nice. Instruction. What's the Bible say? Secondly, or thirdly, celebration. We love to celebrate. We thank you so much that you're welcoming Virginia and me. That's a celebration. That's tremendous. We're looking forward to it so much. And then when we lose people we love, it helps us through our mourning. It helps us through our grief. That's what a church does. But then if you really want to know specifically, you look at what Jesus said he did over in Luke 4. He was anointed. He was picked. You realize the church is picked? We are the instrument of the salvation of the world. Can you believe that? The instrument of salvation of the world. And Jesus was anointed, picked, to proclaim good news. Do you and I proclaim good news wherever we go? Or are we rather doer? Good Scottish word. It means, as you hear it, doer. Do we go around looking like, how can the love of Christ be seen with us looking like that? To proclaim good news, to proclaim release to those in bondage. Those who are blind, let them see, and also to have the acceptable year of the Lord. That's our mission. It should be everywhere and everything and everything we do. Back in the 15th century, there was a man by the name of Niccolò Machiavelli. He wrote a little thin book, it's about that big. I always have my Western civilization students read that book. The title of it is The Prince. And Machiavelli wrote a description about power, how to get power, and how to keep power. I'll be switched if one of the videos I showed had an imaginary dialogue between Machiavelli of the 15th century and the President of the United States. And Machiavelli was telling him what to do and telling him how to act. And if you read The Prince, you will see that power politics goes right along with Machiavelli's The Prince, and it haunts you. I read it so the students would see a contrast between what Jesus said and what Machiavelli said. But there was a phrase in The Prince where Machiavelli put it best. He said, churches show people how to go to heaven. I want to show people what hell is all about and show you how to step around hell. And here you see the main point, his point and our point. We're going to have differences in a church because we have different opinions. The world has differences. They're different opinions. But a church illustrates to the world how, with the love of Christ, you settle differences and make the best of it. That is our witness. So when we disagree in a church, we're to work with the love of Christ to show us how to love each other even though we might disagree. The world and Machiavelli will find more ways to keep disagreeing. To have the love of Christ in what we do is a little glimpse of heaven. To fuss and fight, to tear each other, to remain divided, is a little glimpse of hell. Because where the love of Jesus is, that's heaven on earth. And where there is no love of Christ, that's hell on earth. And all of us see the contrast. But we, who have a mission, are to make sure we show the world how we disagree and still love each other. You think the early church didn't disagree? There's a big fight between Peter and Paul in the book of Acts. Read it. They disagreed. But they remembered the love of Christ was foremost. Let's keep this in mind when we're thinking of the church, what we're here, when we work on the children's address. The building, the steeple, you open the doors, there's the people. We are special friends. We have a mission. Let's fulfill it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our concluding hymn is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. It's number 557. Now, there may be those individuals who would like to unite in the fellowship of the church. There may be others who would like to come and kneel before the holy altar here at the kneeling rails for prayer. So if you would come as we sing this grand hymn of the faith, listen carefully to the words we're singing. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. There it is. That's the church. We'll stand as we sing. Please come if you are so led. People of God, depart in peace. Go forth. May the love of Christ abide in your hearts every moment of every day. Go forth and remember the mission of the church. Remember your and my mission. Be a change agent for a world that's torn by strife. May the love of Christ be seen in all of us. Go and enjoy your salvation. Thank you.